You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did he die?
What are you talking about? Enough die? What kind of question is that? The show is over now.
I can only watch the finale, right? Because that's the only thing that happened after the Breaking Bad finale. All right, great.
Enough with the tweets.
I'm not there yet.
Knock it off.
No. Please stop. I'm not going to ruin anything.
I'm just tired of seeing people tweet about it. Like, we get it. You love a show.
Okay.
Is there
a greater dismissal than enough? Enough is such a great dismissal. Enough. Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show.
So much.
Is there a greater dismissal than enough? I do not have to watch this at the same time as everyone else. I still haven't gotten to the second half of the final season. I did watch the first episode of the second half and was mouth hanging open, shocked at what had happened in the prequel to Breaking Bad. So please don't ruin this for me.
I think this might be one of the shows, though, where you do have to watch it in the moment. That it's enough of a cultural moment. I don't think it's been like this since the Game of Thrones final. No, I haven't watched a single episode of Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad, so I couldn't tell you what's happening. But I do think, as a cultural tradition, it is one of the rare moments where I think you have to be up to date and know what's going on.
What about Hard Knocks? I feel like you can't be behind on Hard Knocks. You have to be caught up on Hard Knocks at all times.
I mean, I don't know. Like, people can gather around the water cooler and tell me what happened on Hard Knocks without me feeling like, oh no,
we're not even gathering around water coolers anymore since the pandemic. Eliminate that phrase.
I'm not watching Better Call Saul because it's a prequel, and I'm like, I kind of know what happened, and I apply the same logic to Hard Knocks. I kind of know what's happening.
I heard you talk about that last week. I was like, what are you talking about, man?
The main characters, I know the fate of the main characters, and I don't care about the ancillary ones.
No, you don't want to know like how he got to where he was?
No. And I've had enough of this. I'm with Chris.
No, enough.
Here we go, everybody. Spoiler alert.
The ancillary character became the main character.
He's dead. I'm just assuming he's dead. Saul Goodman has died. Time of death last night.
So Mike, there's a show. Star Wars show that's
coming
out.
Did I give
out.
It away? I was just guessing. I was honestly guessing. Is that what happened?
No, that's not what happened.
No,
that's Saul Goodman,
Saul
couldn't
Goodman
exist.
Is a dead man.
Saul Goodman could not exist in Breaking Bad if he had died in the prequel. In fact, I am guaranteed without spoilers.
Yeah, but it was in the future. The last episode was the future. Saul Goodman is now dead. Rest in peace. He's a dead man.
Regardless, I am not ready to talk about this.
Want me to spoil Mad Men too?
I am ready to talk about Chris Cody and Amin's feeling, and Billy is back there instigating. I don't know what he's up
Chris
to.
Chris gave me one of the best ideas he's ever had. I'm not going to say it.
I'm going to bust it out on Cinephile. It's a good,
Chris has a really good idea for a podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start it on Cinephile. If it really hits, I'll break off with my own
thing. It's a good idea.
I'll say it. I'll just say it. If you steal out there, screw everyone.
No, don't let them have it. No. Okay. Let's tease it as something that will appear one day as a super secret idea from the maker of what are some of your other ideas?
A lot of good ideas.
Your elevator pitch?
I want you to know.
From the maker of a lot of good ideas.
I want to let you know, we had a team building happy hour last week, and I pitched an idea that Bimmel was like, on Monday, he came back, Chris, really good idea. He's No. We can get Bimmel in here, not to spoil the idea. He will give a thumbs up. That's a good idea by Chris. We need to do that.
The maker of
That's a good name for a podcast. You should start a podcast where every week you just come out and do that.
All right, I will.
Chris does follow through on some of his ideas, though, because like I know the way you guys are like looking at like, oh, he's not going to do this. There's an idea that he's been kind of working on for months now in secret on Twitter.
I am not gonna doubt this.
You guys revealed that one, I think.
No, we've never said it. Chris runs a secret Twitter account
with zero followers.
He's been committed to it for months, though.
I'm trying to get it off the ground organically, and nobody's picking up on it.
The problem is, though, he told us you guys aren't allowed to follow it because then people will know who it is.
The first reach we can't be from.
The only people that know about it are not allowed to spread it.
I mean, you're a jerk because a few times I've subtly. Because what I'll do is I'll tweet out from this account, and then underneath it, I'll tag a bunch of accounts I think might engage with it. I might have tagged you a couple times, just thinking that because you're with our show. But if you retweet something, it won't be like an obvious.
I tell you right now, I hate getting tagged in something that I had nothing to do with. It's the biggest pet peeve. Like the you guys will be talking about something, and the person will respond, and then they'll tag me like I have no idea what this is about. And then because I listen to the show like at night and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, that's why. I'm like. I don't have anything to do with it. I wasn't there. I didn't chime in. Why am I being tagged in this? And come to find out, it's Chris. It's just Chris tagging people left and
right. You're
welcome. Have you given up on that project? Or
no, it's a good one.
You need to.
Okay, I'm just one because if you have, then we can say what it is.
It's one of these like trend, like you know, like how there's.
I don't want any more teasing from you guys. Yes. Just put it on Cinephile and
we talked about this yesterday.
Well, it was like an Easter egg. It's an Easter egg. I didn't.
Can I just tell him?
Yeah, sure.
No! All right. So Chris started this account. Where the whole premise is breaking news 2 weeks after it happened.
It's the slow report.
The slow report.
So we did talk about it.
He's the last one to report the news. So, like, he'll now report, like, something about Deshaun Watson that happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Or, like, big breaking news 3 weeks late. Yeah. And it's called the slow report. It's something that you would think that 7 weeks after the Deshaun Watson news breaks, if somebody randomly tweets, hey, breaking news, Deshaun has been suspended 6 games. And then everybody starts retweeting it, and it's like, oh, that's a slower. I get it, because he's late on that.
What do you think the ceiling is on this account?
Well, like 700,000, I'd say.
When Billy is massively supporting a good idea, he's trying to run you into business ruin.
No, it is a good idea. It just hasn't caught on yet, but we also haven't been allowed to kind of water this plant because he asked us not to. Yeah.
Well, now we've watered it. So.
Okay. Now you drowned it.
What is the account? How do people follow you?
I believe it's at the slow report.
Okay,
I'll verify. I haven't. It's been a while.
Okay, look to see what it is.
You're going
to
break news 2 weeks later and see if you can get that account off the ground. All right.
The other podcast is a good idea, though.
I need a better avatar picture for this account, though.
That's the problem.
It's just newspapers. It's like newspapers on top of a keyboard. That's my avatar picture right now.
I just found at the slow report. Joined August 2020. Followers zero.
It's been happening for 2 years now.
What's the description for the...
We always get it right.
Oh. Ooh, I got my first follower.
We always get it right.
Now only people on the show are following me. This is not what I wanted.
You need to zig. You need to zig when others are zagging.
I'm gonna retweet the one that says Doc Rivers has reached an agreement to become the next coach.
That was like 6 weeks after it happened.
10 months ago, John Gruden has resigned as Las Vegas Raiders head coach. after reports he used racist, homophobic, and misogynistic language in emails.
It was like 4 weeks after that happened.
But you always get it right. Your batting average is 1,000. You're better than all these people who have to get it first. You'll get it 2 weeks late, but you will always get it right.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have released Leonard Fournette at Barstool Big Cat at PFT Commentary.
I was trying to, I knew, I thought if they, maybe they would, you know, they're not affiliated with our show. I thought they would kind of get it. So I was just like,
yeah,
I was,
they would get it.
But they, also, they like to have fun.
They also get lots of people tweeting at them.
Yeah. One of them follows me. That's why I thought. Or not that he doesn't
Jeremy,
follow that.
Jeremy no just retweeted.
Follows you.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah.
That was a brag and a lie. And you have zero followers on an account that has...
No one follows that account.
Two years.
You have everyone in this office following at the slow
rate. I haven't followed yet because Chris asked me not to.
Yeah. You're waiting for proof of concept.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it for you, Chris.
When Billy is hugely smiling behind you and endorsing an idea, run away from that idea.
I got him like eight followers.
From
I disagree. Today.
Yeah, thank you.
I think Billy's in on this. Most of the time, you're right, Dan. This one he really believes in.
Let me ask you guys something before we get to John Amici and Stugat's going to pop in here and then go on vacation as we stump the Meech, as we try to stump the Meech. But before we do that in about 10 minutes, I simply want to ask you guys if you're as stunned as I am. As the man who really, really caused some pain in my life with everything that happened with Ricky Williams and his marijuana suspension, when I am watching The Wedding of Draymond Green and the open superstar NBA guys just rolling giant cigar blunts, I can't believe how much this has shifted. And it feels like it's been 10 years. Has it even been 10 years? The shift on, it's okay at a superstar NBA wedding for it to be understood and known that, yes, of course, everyone's going to smoke out here.
We're not giving enough respect to the cigar rolling station. I don't know how anyone can smoke that entire thing. Most weddings that you go to, especially down here, they'll do something that has a bit of a novelty to it. You'll have a cigar roller, puts tobacco in there. These were jam-packed cigars, but with Kush in them.
Way too much weed, too.
Way too much weed. Way too much weed. If this were in a state where it wasn't legal, that would be trafficking.
Like, two of those cigars could have gotten the entire wedding high. And there was like 72
Iman
of those.
Iman
Shumpert
just got arrested for having something like that in an airport, correct? Yes.
Yeah. This was ridiculous, and it was just what was being rolled at the time. I can't even imagine. There had to have been two hefty bags of Kush. It was crazy.
Are you guys not surprised at how quickly that happened? I mean, I guess how slowly it happened, but this was a stigma, a huge stigma that was judged. And now it is out in the open and understood in a way that it floors me. It feels to me like it happened very fast.
You're right. It did happen very quickly. But also, I think it's a little bit more shocking for you guys because Florida just passed medicinal. And I'm telling you, the entire Western United States, we've been living a different life. Like, it's just, it's normal. It's super normal. Like, it's so normal out west that when I would come here or go to like other places and experience a guy walking down the street, I got that gas. I'm like, what is wrong with you? It's like someone coming up to me and saying, I got those vine ripened tomatoes. I'll go to a supermarket to get my tomatoes, sir. I don't need you like surreptitiously sidling up to me and saying under your breath like what goods and wares you've got.
It still happens on South Beach.
It does. Vine ripened
tomato sales.
I must have a look because I get coke weed like once a week walking down.
Suddenly,
the street.
I don't.
Coke
He's
weed.
A co-op.
He is a co-op.
Coke weed still is something that is whispered right outside. You can leave here every day and get it whispered to. Yes, people walk
whispered.
By. It is whispered. No, it is whispered here still. Coke weed.
I'm going to say, I think I saw this on the Reddit. Somebody said they were in Miami for the first time and they saw like a guy talking to a group of girls say, I'm the snowman. And then the girl didn't get it. And he's like, I got party favors. And, he's like, and then he just yells, I'm selling cocaine.
What's a snowman?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Score major comfort with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. Imagine this. Fabric so soft, it feels like you're practically wearing nothing. Now that's next level softness. Whether you're storming the court, conquering the workday, or just chilling on the couch, Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles have you covered. Literally, in soft, cooling comfort. And let's not forget the style. These sleek designs and colors won't just keep you feeling great, they'll have you looking like a champion. So ditch the discomfort and upgrade your game with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. They're soft, they're cooling, they're everything. Try Hanes softest fabric ever at hanes.com/originals. Use discount code DANLB20.
Don Libertard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call.
Well, strike one would be strike, and then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low, you got your hands behind the catcher. All right, the right arm goes up into the air. Yeah! And then you finish it with the punch. Oh, the right arm flings way up into the air. Yeah! Yeah!
I wish I could see that. It's terrible. The audio's great.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Did anyone in the other room read the Sports Illustrated article, a long profile on our friend John Amici, old enough to be the subject of Where the Hell Are They Now? when we go find athletes from the past and catch up with them. And yours is an interesting story, John. Happy to see you again. Because people are fascinated that the athlete turned into what you turned into, and evidently you've lived long enough that people in England are like, you were an athlete? Really?
That is probably the best part. I really do enjoy it. When this article came out, there was a... obviously, we pushed it out on our social media, and so lots of the people who I interact with now, clients, read it, and they were like, the most amazing thing about this is that I never knew you played sport, even. Forget I was a professional athlete. The idea that I played any sport at all. So it's quite refreshing, actually. It's quite nice. A little reinvention has been successful.
I would think that the whole 6'9 thing or 6'10 thing would welcome questions.
They'd assume rugby, probably, rather than anything else. But that's because, you know, they know it's not that, because every rugby player I know has got cauliflower ears. Because there's no helmet, so your ears just get mashed up, and it's disgusting. I feel like I should have not said that. Well, maybe you should wear those things on your ears, right?
They are anyway. Disgusting. What do you mean you shouldn't have said that? You don't,
He probably has friends that
this
have
is
them.
A bunch of elite athletes right. who are doing what they do. Some of them were doing it before the protective, what's it, idea came about. I used to play rugby.
Everybody thinks that cauliflower ear, even though it's a part of the fighting sports, the idea that your ears have to get so rugged from the beating that they become scarred and unrecognizable, and it's a bit inhumane. I think it's most people, if not recoil from that, they don't find it aesthetically pleasing.
It's weird for me now I'm considering this, that of all the things I've ever said on your show, that was the thing that I was concerned would come back to bite me.
I read the article, Dan, to answer your question from Chris Ballard in Sports Illustrated, the Where Are They Now article with John Amici. John, what was your experience like with that and sitting down and kind of having the opportunity to talk about yourself for a whole profile like that?
It was unusual since he came to London and he sat in my office while I was working. He sat in our other office while we were working. He came to an event, so he actually saw me do my thing. It was really weird to have someone just on the side watching you. It made me quite self-conscious. But I think I'm glad that he took away from it what he took away, that the whole point of this work is to try and have an impact on people and a positive one at that. Though he did take away that most of the people I talked to that day did cry, but I think it was a good kind of crying.
Well, tell the people about that thing, John, for those not familiar with the leadership work that you're doing, the counseling. Basically, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's good, doing therapy for corporate culture, right?
I've never heard it described that way, but that's not bad, actually. Yeah, that's probably a kinder interpretation. I'm a business psychologist, so I help workplaces not suck so much. I help organizations that really want to win find a way to do that without having a body count. I think that's the real key. And I try and help individual leaders be better, because the preponderance of the experience of anybody at work is their leader. So everybody I'm watching right now on camera, their experience of work, obviously each other contributes to it, but it's you, Dan. You're the one who contributes to the majority of their experience, good or bad. And so I try and help organizations shift by changing leaders because they have a disproportionate power.
Can you explain to us, while you see all around you in England and all over the world, leadership breach after leadership breach, what the hell is going on in your country with Prime Minister?
Yeah, our Prime Minister, the position of Prime Minister has been a mess for quite a while. From lackadaisical, entitled leaders who never gave a damn about people in the first place, but were passably compassionate as conservatives, all the way through to pompous, bilious, completely disinterested and ignorant people, which is what we had in Boris Johnson. And I say had because he's nominally still our prime minister, but there's a leadership battle going on right now. What's interesting is the leadership battle appears to be one between two people who are trying to be as horrible as possible to everybody who's slightly different. Some of the things that are being talked about are taking us back to the 1950s and worse. And the person who I think is going to be elected is a nincompoop, is truly not a very clever person. And I always think that at least a prerequisite for being in charge of people is a modicum of intellect, or at least a curiosity about smartness. And that is absent from at least the forerunner, the person who's likely to get the job.
Nincompoop is such an underutilized insult.
Great word.
It really is. It is hard to insult someone more than last word poop, nincompoop. It's not used nearly enough by people.
I'm trying to bring in the theme of where are they now. So these are the throwback words we've got to bring back in.
But John, what the hell's happening though when this is the leadership? What's happening with the cost of living crisis that's making people so unhappy? Why is it that this is all happening now in a way that is replete with nincompoops?
People are voting for these individuals is the first thing we have to say, right? So whilst I think these people are reprehensible for the most part, and there are very few politicians with real character and substance and gumption that I would wholeheartedly endorse, but people are voting for these people in part because the world they present is so simple. And we are in a time right now where our world is incredibly complex. People are talking to us about climate change, and it's an incredibly nuanced subject. We're talking about privilege. We're talking about discrimination and bias. And these subjects aren't just, if you excuse the pun, black and white. They are nuanced questions about power and systems and processes. And so when people come along, powerful people come along and tell you, you know what, all of that is bollocks. Forget all of that. All you need to know is it's not your fault, and I can tell you who made your life bad. And on one side, they'll say, it's that person over there who's a big business owner. And the other side, they might suggest something like, it's that person over there who came over here in a boat or crossed a fence. That's simplification of our life. It helps us in this moment. It's awful and we shouldn't fall for it, but it helps us in this moment where everything feels so chaotic and challenging, and there's so many things being thrown at us. And rather than process all that, we look at someone who says, it's not your fault, and here's how I'll fix it. And then they'll point to an individual or a type of individual, and ta-da, the problem solved. It's so compelling to have your life simplified that way, and to be reassured in the same moment that whatever your circumstance, it's not your fault.
What do you make of the disparities in income, inflation, and the general unhappiness that you will find, and hopelessness as the gap between rich and poor continues to inflate?
I mean, this is one of those spaces where the first thing that anyone in my position has to do is say, by the way, super privileged, unbelievably privileged, well off. I'm not having to concern myself with the cost of living crisis in a way that the vast majority of people must. So that's the first thing, the admission of privilege, which doesn't make me explode or a terrible person. This is... We don't value people who do some of the most critical jobs in the world. I cycle at 5 a.m. I have an e-bike. It's not cheating. And I cycle at 5 a.m. out into different parts of London. And when I go through East London, it's really curious that there's an entirely different world at 5 a.m. It's light here at 5 a.m. And there's an entire world of people heading out to jobs that most people would find undesirable and unworthy, or coming back from jobs, cleaning offices and such, jobs that people would find unworthy. We don't value these people, and we don't think that they should be paid a living wage. And even in Britain, where we have a living wage law, we don't value it. And so nobody is attempting to intervene into a system that allows some people to get egregiously and terribly rich while exploiting people who do jobs that nobody wants to do. I'm on the board of a FTSE company, a large kind of public company in the American parlance, a listed company, and we make sandwiches. Now, nobody in our company makes the kind of money that some of the industrialists do, but we have a professional workforce of 1,000 people, and then 10,000 people who work in a freezer all day. That's what they do, turning sandwiches, putting meat and cheese and whatever else onto bread. And the rest of the kind of the middle class part of the world takes for granted that that process just happens, and there's no people involved. There's no human involved in that process who's worthy of, I don't know, consideration.
You like sandwiches, huh? What's your favorite sandwich, Mitch?
So we're gonna go there. We're gonna go straight from that.
I do want to go there. Yeah. What's your go-to sandwich, Mitch?
I can tell you right now that the favorite sandwich in Britain has not changed much over the last 10 to 15 years, and it's a ham and cheese sandwich. Mm. It's the most popular sandwich, and it is also the sandwich that I get if I go out for lunch.
A little mustard on it, or.
That's it, of course.
Yeah, of course. John,
English mustard.
I've heard in Britain that...
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but not that yellow weird stuff. Not
right,
that bright
right.
Neon yellow stuff.
Some spicy mustard. Yes.
There you go. All right. Sorry.
I've heard of the bacon sandwich in the UK. Here, bacon is only something that gets added on to something. What goes with a bacon sandwich besides bacon?
What? Why would you need anything else?
Thank you.
It just seems like
nincompoop.
No. This is the essence. So it is. You have to get the cheapest white bread you can find. You butter that bread because extra fat is essential in this process. You then layer that bread with bacon.
Why is Chris Cody wagging a finger?
I knew there was something else. He said, why would you need anything else? I'm like, there's got to be something else. And there it was.
Butter.
There
it was. Butter. But there isn't another main ingredient. And then you cram in enough bacon that's been almost cremated. And then you slap on the lid and crunch it all together. You can add sauce, red sauce or brown sauce. Brown sauce would be my preferred. But yeah, it's awesome. It's incredible.
Which of the brown sauces are you speaking of? What does that even mean? I don't even know what a brown sauce. What's brown sauce?
Brown sauce is literally called brown sauce. It's made by HP, most famously in this country. But yeah, it's just brown sauce.
You got to try throwing a little tomato and lettuce on that bacon sandwich. Yeah. I'm telling you,
what
my man.
What is wrong with you? No,
I'm telling
no,
you, my man. A little BLT.
BLT. Meat is saying it's not necessary. Just butter and bacon. I mean,
yeah. What is the point of the lettuce and tomato? Is it some kind of nod to this tomato, is tomato. Honestly, mum, this is healthy? Is that what we're trying to do here?
It's the crunch. The lettuce crunches, and then the tomatoes the like kind of wet and juicy.
You're doing it wrong if the bacon doesn't crunch.
Right.
We have multiple crunches.
It's got to be well done, the bacon. He's right. Crispy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just launch a what is wrong with you at Chris Cody for throwing lettuce and tomato on a BLT is a famous American sandwich.
Yes. And Twinkies are a famous American snack. Need I say more?
What the hell is wrong with Twinkies? Yeah. What's wrong with Twinkies?
I'm not here for the UK. For the UK shading American cuisine, all right, bud?
No, the idea that Americans have that the UK's cuisine is what it was in the 1920s is a little different.
It's
now.
Improved. I've heard that London got tired of how bad it was, the culinary reputation, and that all of that has been fixed.
And not just London. Lots of cities have got much better food now. So, I mean, our national dish is Indian food. It's curry. That's what people, that's really the food that's the most British is curry. And then you can go for things like jellied eels if you want.
What are jellied eels?
That's a very traditional, I won't eat it. It just is just utterly gross. But it's eels that have gone through some kind of process, and at the end of that process you eat them kind of in a jelly that's not their slime, it's an added jelly item. I don't understand
but lettuce on a bacon sandwich
wrong. Yeah,
that's gross.
Put it on the
why
pole.
Why spoil bacon?
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. What's more disgusting, jellied eels or cauliflowered ears? Let's try and stump John Amici. Are you ready, sir, for Stump the Meech? I don't believe you are. Look, his demeanor.
You've had some time.
His demeanor has changed. Mike, how confident are you in your list of mispronunciations from Stugatz?
I never lose. I never lose.
You've lost several times.
Never.
Meech.
Never lost.
Debatable.
Undefeated, never lost.
So many times. This is a weird delusion that you live in, and I'm afraid to burst the bubble lest something awful happen to you all.
You've got no shot today.
Yeah.
Also, was that a threat?
You have one victory, Meech. One.
Me? No, it's like just if the delusion breaks, I'm afraid we'll happen, because it's so strongly held that you've literally been crushed when I've won.
I say.
And you cannot remember that.
I say we have five here. If you get two, it'd be a really good showing.
Hmm. If you get two. Okay. Game on.
All right.
The first mispronunciation from Stugatz is?
Typical. I know that one. Typical.
First one's always easy.
Starts off typical. Easy, Meech.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say it's typical.
Typical.
One more time.
Typical.
That is a word that he ejected on.
One more time. Typical. I really pulled that
typical.
Out of that one. Typical. Typical.
Yeah, it's not getting any better for me. I'm still going with typical.
It's a good guess.
Oh, wow.
He was trying to say typically.
Uh-huh.
You fool.
That was the easy one.
Nincompoop. Nincompoop.
Judges, are we giving it to him? Judges?
It seems like it. No, it seems pretty close.
If he ejected... It's always a mystery. And without the context, it's damn near impossible. And that was your easy one.
But typical is the root of typically. I think we should.
Well, we're doing root words.
How confident are you in the other four? Would you be willing to give him this one just so he could feel good about himself?
And bacon's the root of BLTs, okay, Dan? The different sandwiches.
That microphone.
It's the only important ingredient.
How do we not have a microphone? Like, we're in the microphone business.
He has a microphone. It's just he grabs it, and you'll hear the reverberations of it. But
so we giving this?
Thanks, yeah, Billy. Appreciate all the contributions.
Welcome back.
Missed you terribly.
We giving it to him, or?
Yes.
He's up 1-0.
That's how confident we are.
You're up 1-0,
Mitch. Yeah, all right, here we go. Here's number two.
Go ahead, Mitch. Get that. Yeah.
That was from the last hour.
Well, that's very helpful, thank you. Is it two words?
This is one word.
And I've got nothing.
Is it perhaps?
Is possession.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean?
He erred. He wanted to say position, ended up trying to say possession and ejecting on it.
Yep.
That is incredible.
Professional broadcaster.
All tied up, Meech. Katera. 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 Katera.
So great. Is that one word?
Katera.
Yes.
Katera. 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 Katera.
I have no idea. I'm going to go with catastrophe.
Mike, is that a country? Was he a singer?
It was a simple misspoken word. He referenced the vocalist from Chicago, who is Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera.
Yeah, but he thought it was
Cetera.
Cetera.
Didn't even give me the Peter to go for oh my goodness.
Cetera. Yeah.
I thought it was Cutter or Qatar that he was trying to, that he read wrong.
2-1 me.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean? It's easy.
It's not a word.
It's two words.
Sentence.
It's two words?
This is two words.
No, no. That is not two words.
There's no...
He's so perplexed.
I mean, how can he not be perplexed? It's totally unfair. In what world is that two words?
Is there any context at all here? I mean, because there's just nothing
it's
there.
Two words is the clue
just
you
like
get.
You've been punched in the sternum and that's the noise
you're talking
made.
About education.
Oh, but boy.
I hope that clears it up for you.
Rare is
I'm going to go with high school.
He got it?
Oh my God.
What?
Oh my God.
Are you shitting me?
Oh my God. I didn't even know what I was saying.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
How did he get that?
I mean, Mike gave him too good of a clue.
That is a miracle.
How the Congrats.
Now we're in trouble.
No, you're already in trouble because you said it's a win if I get two.
No, I said it's a really good outing.
It is a good outing.
I can't believe you gave that. I gave him too good of a clue.
Too good of a clue, and we gave you number one. So, I mean.
He actually missed number one.
No, stop it, though. We've got now a fifth one.
I can't believe he got that.
I can't believe it either.
You're getting really good at this game.
He has now made it difficult.
How?
I've actually started just deciding.
How is this high school?
How?
Because I just thought, all right. What level of schooling would Stugards be talking about?
Right.
And I thought, well, it's not going to be anything above high school. And then I thought, what would be an impossible thing for him to be saying? And then I picked that. That's what happened. What could it not be him saying two words, high school, so very different?
He's so smart.
All right, I'm ready.
Well played.
Okay.
This is very big now.
9-2 apiece here, Meech.
Dramatic, all of a sudden, a surprise drama here as Meech, look at him. He's so confident. Look at him. Look how good he feels about himself.
I honestly, that was a change in the game.
You're shook.
That was my best shot. I saved my best shot for game four, thinking I would just put him in an early hole.
You're not
confident?
If he
got high school, he can get anything.
Yeah, he can. Mm-hmm.
Well,
no hints, Mike.
That was gastrointestinal problems.
We're afraid to give you even a clue.
Don't say a word.
I'm not going to get it without a bit of context.
Two words.
Two words.
He sounds like he's gagging while scrubbing his tongue.
That's actually oddly right on the nose.
I think I remember this.
Any more context? I know you're afraid of context now, but
he was also talking about education.
And it's two words.
I also made that last part up.
Two words, though.
It's not fair.
I've got nothing. There's no way I'm getting that one.
No guesses? All right, no guesses. He is punting. It is I think.
There's no chance. I think.
You don't hear it?
In retrospect, you missing Cetera.
Really?
You're gonna be wearing that
getting
one.
Getting high school.
Yeah, you got high school. Ow! And miss Cetera.
High school and not Cetera.
I'll own that one. But it was a good outing, according to you. So
it was.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Good job, Mitch.
Good seeing you again, Mitch. Thank you for stopping by, sir. Good seeing
you. Anytime. Take care.
See you, Mitch.
How did he get high school?
It's amazing. That was wild.
I mean,
I thought I could have told him he's saying high school and he still would have gotten it wrong.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.